Hello and welcome back to another episode of One of Us is Talking. I am here with a guest who I am very excited for today. Hello, Liam. If you wanted to introduce yourself, why don't you go ahead and do that?
Hi, what's up, everybody? My name's Liam. I'm a concert photographer and content creator based out of New York City. Allie and I actually went to college together, so this is very exciting to just connect again like this and just talk more about what I've been doing since college.
Yeah, no, this is so exciting, especially kind of going into how you got your start in the music industry. Because last time I had seen you were about to graduate into a pandemic with a film degree. And now you're so established in the music industry and you're really building your way up with concert photography. So, how did you get your start?
So I was not a big concert person. We hear this saying in the industry, fangirl to fanboy to professional pipeline. That was not me. I always loved social media, so that was kind of like where I was growing up, always making YouTube videos and writing in my journals. So I was like, I'm going to college for film, that's it, blah, blah, blah. And then I went into film and TV, and I really enjoyed my time at Marist. I loved it there. I made so many connections and opportunities. But then we graduated in 2020. My senior year was taken away, and it was like, oh God, what do we do now? I was so set on being a cinematographer, and it took me 18 months to get my first job out of school. That, yeah, 18 months. I was scooping ice cream at Cold Stone because that was the only place that would hire me. But I finally got on a film set in 2021, and I quickly realized I did not like it. And I also had a social media job at a healthcare agency where I was making videos, and it was a really frustrating time in my life because I was like, why do I the thing that kept me going, I hate this. I love creating, but I hate what I'm doing right now. And then there was, back it up a little bit, something bad happened in my life, May of 2021. I'm not going to delve into it, but there was an album that came out at that same time called Sour by Olivia Rodrigo. We all know. I like introducing it. You guys won't know what this album was, but that album got me through hell. And it was like the album that healed my inner teenager. Like, I was like, holy shit, where was this album when I was 15? And when I heard Driver's License, I was like, I will hear this girl live. Like, that is the goal. I need to hear this album live. So then December, she drops the tour. And I noticed New York City week of May 1st. That's my birthday. I'm like, she's coming to my city May 1st. Like, there is no way I am missing this. I tried to get tickets, could not get tickets. And then I saw a video about concert photography, and I was like, that's how I'm getting in. Like, that is how I'm going to get in. I applied with no portfolio.
Oh my gosh.
I was like, yeah, blah, blah, blah. Olivia's team was super duper nice. And a few months later, I got rejected. But they were super nice about it. And I was like, okay, like, you don't have a portfolio, but I was like, I want to still try this. So I hit up a local band, did a show at the Mercury Lounge, and it was like, this is what's been missing. Like, this is going to be the spark back. And then I ended up getting seats to Olivia 30 minutes before for only $60 in the fourth row, which at that time the tickets were shooting $700.
Oh, wow, yeah.
So Olivia Rodrigo's concert was the first show I had been to since COVID. And I really took for granted concerts. I really did. And that was that moment where I was like, I want to do this all the time. Like, this is what I want. And I still had my job, and summer 2022, I could not get a gig to save my life. And I went to Harry Styles in September. And that was the final straw. I was like, dude, what are you waiting for? Like, why are we holding this back? And I the next morning, 8 a.m., I called. I said, hey, I'm not coming back. Hung up the phone and got a job in live events a month later.
Oh wow.
Yeah. And
Okay.
I've been
So
doing this
that,
ever since.
oh my goodness. Okay. Well, congratulations, because that's such a great background story. And I'm so glad you were able to turn something that was hurtful to you into something more positive with the Olivia kind of realization that this is what you wanted to go into. And I mean, I'm going more like the film route still from Marist, but I mean, I kind of relate to that. Like, even this podcast, I had started it. One of Us is Lying was a book I read through the pandemic. It helped me get through that tough time and fell in love with it. And then even with this podcast, one day I was like, you know what? I'm going to interview the cast of that show and like just stayed determined and it really worked out. So I think the moral of your story is so great there. And it was so inspiring hearing something like that.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's crazy the trajectory of people our age. You know, I think we went into college wanting to do one thing, and then the pandemic completely altered our plans. Some for the, you know, most for the better. And I think especially art, because you graduated, you were a year below me.
Yes.
I think a lot of us came out of college and were like, wait a minute, you know, what did our degrees really mean? And there was a study, it said 41% of college grads end up not getting a job in their major. And I think people hear that and they're scared, like, oh my God, I wasted my time. And it's like, no, you didn't. You know, you have whatever, like film and TV, everyone's like, do you regret majoring in that now? Just to let the audience know, our college had no music major at all. We had none. But I don't regret it because there was a lot of transferable skills. And that is my advice to all the college kids watching. You find, you know, you may figure out after school that, oh, what I majored in wasn't for me. And what you need to realize is find a major that is going to give you transferable skills.
Yeah, that's such great advice, because it's true. We had nothing like what you're doing now, but I would say film was probably one of the closest, I guess maybe a photography minor, but
yeah.
I mean, congratulations again. That's so exciting. Mm-hmm. And it seems like you have already, like, as you mentioned, faced a few challenges, but you've really kind of gotten through them. But when you first started having an interest in concert photography, what was the biggest challenge that you faced?
Getting in the door. Honestly, like, it is a very hard thing to get into. It's a very saturated thing, especially being from New York. New York is amazing because there's a concert every night. Like, you can go anywhere in Manhattan and someone's performing somewhere. And because of that, there's a lot of competition. So it was like, who are the people I'm going to meet? Who's going to get me in the door? How do I execute cold emails properly? You know, because me shooting the show, we're only allowed to shoot the first three songs. So my concert photography is a 10-minute thing.
Oh, wow.
It's really not like, people think, oh, you're shooting it. That's not the case. It's only 10 minutes. Majority of the time, you're trying to get your foot in the door. You're trying to get approved and you're spending your time editing. That is the challenge, just getting in the door.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, getting in the door is no easy feat. So again, congratulations. I feel like I have so many congratulations for you. They're all in order. Mm-hmm. And I guess you kind of went through that, but how have you found your way in the industry? Because you said getting your foot in the door was probably the hardest.
So the thing that got me in the door was social media. The whole, like, I've been making YouTube videos since I was 14. I don't do YouTube anymore. YouTube really kind of has died out. But my whole thing, it was a month into concert photography, and I was like, I'm going to start documenting this experience, and I'm going to not gatekeep how to get into this. And like, so I started making these videos as if like I had been doing it for years. Like, the way I was like, I'm going to act like I've been doing this forever. But like, the truth was, I only did it a month. And I got I was gaining a following from it. And, you know, I think the issue with photographers, videographers, and designers of today, they think not all of them, but the general idea that we are influenced by is just post your work online. And I'm sorry, that's not cutting it anymore. It is not cutting it. Because everyone's doing that. It's like, oh, I took these photos of Harry Styles. Okay, great. There's like 20,000 people who did too. So my whole idea was the 80-20 rule. So 80% of my content was going to be how to get into it, why I'm into this, and just showing my journey. The 20% is my actual work. And that 80-20 method, I think, has gotten me where I am.
I love that. I've never heard of the 80-20 method, but I'm just knowing I'm going to be using that for myself now. And that is a fantastic way to look at things.
Mm-hmm. Cause like, it was wild. Cause now all of a sudden the people that I was looking up to in the industry started to follow me back, and like, we're like, oh my God, we love you, you know, your work and your advice. And like, I wish I had this. And I'm like, I've literally been looking up to you. Like, this is nuts. But that's my whole thing. I'm like, 80% of it, I will share how to do this and why I'm doing this to give that personal aspect of it. And then the 20% is my work. Because social media, people either are going on it because they want to be entertained or educated, right? And, you know, I could post a cool photo and people are going to like it, but that's not what they care about. They want to know how I did it. they want to know how I edit it to look a certain way. And that is the content that is that drove me to where I am.
Oh, wow. Okay. That is like, I never realized that about you, but I think that's so awesome because now you, like you were saying, you have the people you were looking up to contacting you. And I think that's just so great. And people don't realize that you can still go forward, even if you haven't been in wherever you are for a while, like how you started only after a month.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's incredibly humbling just to see like all the growth from it and like, you know, that my videos are helping people. I'm at the point where I'll go to concerts and I'll be pulled to the side and someone's like, your videos got me in this photo pit. Like I didn't get the pass unless if it wasn't for your videos. And I'm like, oh my God, like, it's just nuts. Like it's great, you know? Cause a lot of the beginning videos were just like me Googling advice and then like broadcasting it. But now I'm like using the actual personal experience to, you know, make the videos unique. And, you know, now it's like people are in photo pits and they'll come up to me from time to time and be like, I'm here because of you. And that just like blows my mind. Cause like, I have a lot more to go, but it's like, wow, I'm like helping people. And that, you know, that was the whole point of it all. And that's what makes me happy.
Yeah. And I feel like there can't be any like better compliment than that. That someone's looking up to you. So, I mean, that's so great. And we kind of talked about this a little bit, but you switched your career path from film to concert photography. And you mentioned how the two were a little bit similar. What are the similarities you see? And then what are the differences you see?
So I think the big similarities is that it's very difficult to get into. And it really is networking based. You know, when I was on film sets, I was meeting people who were NYU grads. And then some were like, yeah, I dropped out of high school and like, I'm still here. And the music industry is very similar to that. I'll give Marist alums an example. So we have a handful of Marist alums who are in the music industry right now. A lot. And again, we did not have the Marist music major. So a lot of them were the comm people, you know, they were PR, they were advertising majors. And now they're in the music industry doing the exact same thing. So that's a huge similarity is like, you don't need a degree or to major in a certain thing. And just the way of networking to get through the door, you know, I've connected with Marist alums who are in the music industry, some that are our age, others that are older. There's only one of them that does concert photography, but the rest of them are like the business side of things. I think the main differences is that I mean, I don't think there's really big differences because it's very freelance based and a lot of late nights and, you know, just things like that. I would say difference wise is just I feel like the industries are going into completely different directions.
Okay.
You know, film and TV, we have the writer's strike right now and just seeing where that goes. Unfortunately, there's a lot of layoffs in film and TV right now. Not to scare anybody, but that's the reality. The music industry, it's about keeping up with the streaming and the digital age and just so many, you know, back in the day, it was like, if you had the money to go to a record label and produce yourself, then that was the way. Even though we had a lot of artists that grew up really poor and became super successful. But a majority of the success we saw of artists back then was they had the money or the privilege or they were at the right place and right time. And I think that's still relevant, but we have so many artists producing music now. So many, and it's hard to really find like the one. I spoke with one rapper named Skila Baby who's blowing up. He's a Detroit rapper, and he talked about like because of so many artists coming out now, it's really hard to find local music scenes. Like, who are the big artists of Detroit? Who are the big artists of Atlanta or whatever? So those are, I think that's the huge difference. The industries are going into completely different directions. For film, I think they're fighting for the rights of getting paid fairly and equally, especially with streaming like Netflix, because they don't get residuals through streaming. And then with music, it's like, how do we find the next greatest thing? Because there's so many people making music now. So I think it's like those two. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's such a good point. I mean, I feel like they are similar in a way, but there are differences, especially the way the industries of each one are going. Mm-hmm. But yeah, film is definitely a tough thing right now. With everything happening, but I'm so glad you were able to find music. And I mean, your photography is amazing, but also OutJams, which is your publication.
Yeah.
That was one of the things, like, since we've connected that I've gotten to learn about, which I think is really cool. And how did this publication come to be? Like, where did you get the idea from it? How did it start?
So what happened was basically making it as a freelance concert photographer is very difficult. A lot of the time, these labels will not approve you unless you're a part of a publication. This is just to keep the liability of the artist and making sure the artist is looking good at all times, right? They don't want some, you know, the wrong photographer taking the wrong photo of an artist and, you know, posting that and making the artist look bad. Mm-hmm. So it's just a whole trust thing. It's all about trust. And I was getting gigs as a freelance photographer, doing pretty well. But then all of a sudden, it just stopped because the bigger artists need, you know, you need to be a part of a publication if you're going to make it through. So I looked up advice videos, how to join a publication, and, you know, it was like, okay, like cold email all these people. I think I cold emailed 40 publications, not a word, not a single word from any of them. And it was like last July. And I wanted to find a publication that was going to align with my beliefs and not beliefs, but just my music taste and everything like that. And, you know, I am openly a transgender man. And since college, I've had a rough time getting jobs. One of the big reasons, not only because, you know, COVID and all that, but because I'm trans, you know, they won't explicitly say it because it's illegal, but you just get a vibe when you're not getting hired for being trans. It's hard to explain. And I was like, okay, I want to make a publication that where, you know, that it's a safe place for queer people. And also just, I love pop and indie music. So I wanted to focus on that niche. And I couldn't find a publication that was pop and indie unless it was those national ones where you had to be hired through it, you know. So I was like, I'm just going to start my own. And that is how OutJams came to be. And I was like, I want to make this a place for LGBT people that want to get in the music industry, specifically like design, concert photography, show writing, that we were going to be the door for them. And that's how it all began.
That's so amazing. Mm-hmm. So do you like hire people to work with you? Do you have interns? Like how does that kind of...
So currently it's all volunteer based and we have 8 photographers, including myself. And we're just currently trying to get our foot in the door. It is very hard because unfortunately, like many industries, the music industry can be very sexist, and they, especially concert photography, they will hire men over women majority of the time, unfortunately. And so we're navigating that right now because our team, we have 6 women, 1 non-binary person, and then 2 men. And I did observe that the men, like we were getting gigs, but the women and, you know, non-binary, they were not. And like, I want to figure out, you know, unfortunately it's out of our control if people are going to be prejudiced like this, because like, I noticed I give them a template, right? And I'll be like, okay, this is the cold email template. This is what you're going to say, blah, 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 here, you know, and we do that and I'll use the same template. I get gigs. They use it. They don't. Oh. And like, that is what I'm struggling with currently. And I want to be transparent about that because it's like, that really just shows the double standards. Like I'm sending an email, I'm going through, and then, you know, or I'll have times where I'll be like, I can't make it, but this photographer can, and then they're getting rejected. And it's just like, you know, we actually made a post about it on OutJams and it blew up and people were really happy we spoke up about it, and others were not happy, claiming that, like, you know, a lot of male photographers were saying, oh, women are just being dramatic and blah, blah, blah. And because I'll backtrack that. So Vogue put out an interview with Harry Styles photographer, Lloyd Wakefield. And the article was great, but there was one line that really upset the concert photography community and the music industry community as a whole. So basically, Lloyd Wakefield's first concert was Harry Styles. This man had no prior concert photography experience, and his first show was Harry Styles. And that pissed a lot of people off because it was like, there are women who have been doing this for years, men who have been, you know, and they would never get that type of opportunity. Mm-hmm. So we made a post about it. And it was basically like, we're not mad at Lloyd, we're mad at the system that this continues to perpetually happen.
Yeah.
So that is a huge struggle with OutJams I'm currently trying to work on and face right now, is like, how do we stop this like double standard? Cause it's like, why is it okay when I write this email, but when a woman does the same, like the same template, and she's not getting gigs?
Yeah. You know? I mean, I love that about everything that you work on, how you try to make sure that it's inclusive for all. And you're not afraid to speak up, which is just so great. And is there anything else that you have done to increase inclusivity in the music or the entertainment industry? Because it seems like you have a great track record and you're off to a great start.
I think, you know, a huge part of my content online is I do talk about being trans and I document being trans. You know, I got top surgery 3 months ago. So I documented that because my whole thing is like my career is not all of me, but also being trans is not everything. And considering all the anti-trans bills we have out right now, these, you know, young trans kids and queer kids, they have, you know, I cannot imagine. Because like when I was growing up, we had nothing. Like we had no resources or no language to put how we were feeling. We were just suffering in silence. And it's like, yes, we have the information now, but these kids, like, they're going on TikTok and they're seeing some guy be transphobic and talk about like, oh, kids shouldn't trans, you know. I cannot imagine being a teenager and seeing that all the time. So that was a huge part of it. And, you know, unfortunately, it does cost me things because people see that I'm openly trans and they don't hire me because of it. But again, I don't want to work with people that are going to be like that. So my whole thing was like creating my own opportunities and just showing, you know, providing that inclusivity. And, you know, there are times where I get hesitant to talk about it because, you know, I get harsh comments sometimes, but one day I got a comment from a mom, and if I get emotional, I'm sorry, but, I got this mom DM me and she goes, "Hey, my daughter is trans. She has no interest to be in the music industry." Oh God, this gets me every time. "She has no interest to be in the music industry, but we sit and watch your videos because I want to show her that she has a future." That is like that. Oh my God. I think about that all. I like that blows my mind because I want to be who I never had. Like I didn't have a trans man to look up to growing up. We had nothing. Like we had absolutely nothing, you know, in the age of the internet. We had people, but it was not in the scale of today. But I have parents of trans kids who follow me. I have parents who lost their kids because of the transphobia in the world. And it's just like, you know, my content for music, that's important, but I need to show people like trans people can be successful and we can grow to be adults and like have these thriving futures. And I'm only 25, but that's really the whole thing behind it. And that's creating that inclusivity is just being what I never had.
Oh, okay. So that story, I do have to say, really touched me. And even if this isn't something that I personally have experienced in, I can only imagine how you were feeling when you received that. And I think that's so great for the person out there who really needed that. So, I mean, even just coming from a person's perspective, you are putting such great just joy and light out into the world. So I do want to just thank you for that, because again, to receive a message like that, even I'm like very choked up, and this isn't my situation or like my personal, what I'm like my personal upbringing or background, but that was, I mean, amazing to hear. So I just do want to say again, are an amazing person. And I'm so glad that you have so many role models. I mean, so many people who are viewing you as a role model and looking up to you. It's so well deserved.
Thank you.
No problem. And I mean, you're following on TikTok. That must be, in a way, must feel like a little bit like pressure, but also very exciting. What is that like overall?
So I remember like being in high school and struggling to grow on YouTube. And, you know, I look back and it was like, I wasn't being who I was. You know, I came out when I was 19 years old. I was out as a lesbian between the ages of 12 and 19. I was not out as queer on the internet at the time. I was out in real life. I was not out on the internet. And then when I was 19, I realized I was trans and transitioned. And here we are today. I think just being open about my identity has also just given me a platform to speak up on important issues. And I really appreciate the people who are in the music industry who are taking the time to listen to trans voices. And not only follow me for the content I'm making about concert photography, but they're trying to learn to be better. They're trying to learn to be inclusive. And that's what really matters. But it does come with a lot of backlash. I'm just going to take a sip of water because my
go ahead.
I think it does come with its faults. So I made a video about transphobia and how it specifically affects trans men and how trans men are often infantilized and why our voices are so silent. And also we're demonized at the same time. So I'm sorry, why was my voice?
Oh, you're good.
Anyway, so I made a video about it. The video exploded. Like the Trevor Project got a hold of it. Like I was like, holy, cause I used to call the Trevor hotline when I was in a crisis as a teenager. And now I'm like 25 and they're like, yeah, you know, we like what you said. Unfortunately, I, for a while, was waking up to DMs from, you know, these transphobic groups and people making videos mocking what I said and basically saying that, you know, I was ridiculous. And I did make videos clapping back. Some people were like, oh, you transitioned and you're still a feminine dude. Like, there was no point. One of the comments that I received was, trans people like you need to get an education. Like, y'all are dumb, blah, blah, blah. And I just laughed because I'm like, because I had this idea. So what I did was I got a video and the TikTok sound was like, hey, 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 don't ever say those words again. Or so, it was something like that. And I grabbed my degree and put it up and was like, trans people need an education. Like, I have one. I have one. Like,
what do you want me to do?
And everyone was like, oh my God. Like, but yeah, it was for a few days. I had to step back because the messages were just nasty. It's, you know, when you're trans online and you're open about it, it's either people are disgusting transphobes writing the nastiest things. I had like 14-year-old kids being like, oh, I'm trans and it's hard for me right now. And then 50-year-old adults saying, you're disgusting and you don't matter. And I'm like, are you kidding me? It's either you get that and they come for me too. They're like, oh, you were a confused little girl. Like, someone hurt you. I'm like, oh my God. Or you get people who fetishize you. And they're like, oh, being with the trans, that must be so hot, you know, just disgusting. Like, they see you for your body. And, it, you know, it's hard. Like, it's hard to make video. Like, you want to talk about things, but you worry about the backlash. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's like, these people never have profile pictures. Their usernames are never publicly shown. And my followers are so quick to clap back. Oh God. I had one person who commented being like, why are you mad transphobes exist? I cannot, my followers came for them like no other. I get the comments, oh, I'm happy for you, man, but we got to protect the kids. I'm like, yeah. So you deal with a lot of that. And then with the concert photography stuff, you know, my work is very different from the rest. And I do that on purpose. I like the look. It helps me stand out and it's getting me the opportunities I'm getting now. But there are people who don't like that. There are people who don't like the advice I'm giving. They don't, you know, so I get backlash for that too. I made a video about how you shouldn't sneak into shows and people got upset with me because it was like, oh, that's how I got my start. And I'm like, okay, well, we have, unfortunately, shootings going on right now. We don't know what people's intentions are. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't be doing that. You know, I had another where I was talking about earplugs at concerts and how it's, you know, to prevent tinnitus, I think is how you pronounce it. You know, especially if you're going to go frequently and people are like, you know, people got mad at me over making a video about concert health. Like, I get so much love and support, but some of the hate I get is just hilarious. It's hilarious. And a big thing, like, now it's people, I post the photos and they're like, oh, I post photos now and people are like, you're doing too much. And I'm like, that's the whole point. That is the whole point. This is a very saturated industry and I'm going to stand out. And if you don't like my work, then so be it. I had someone who commented like, your photos are awful. Right. And then I like commented, I was like, oh, you know, if you have nothing nice to say, don't say anything at all. That comment was deleted in seconds.
Oh my gosh.
You know, I do get a lot, 99% of the time it's love and support, but now the bigger I get, the hate is coming and I have to be ready.
People are just crazy on the internet. Yeah. And I mean, I'm so sorry, but for both of those topics that you have to go through, yeah, the hate and all. But I mean, again, thank you to you for being able to kind of overcome that and still be able to speak up and speak out and make these videos. That speaks a lot about your character. Yeah.
I was bullied a lot growing up. You know, it was obvious that I was queer to some degree. You know, I was too manly to be a girl, you know, and the girls didn't like that. I was too feminine for the boys. I was too masculine for the girls. So it was a very lonely time. I had friends, but it was still lonely. You know, there was points where I was eating lunch in the bathroom stall, you know, and just that I really feel for that. And I think, you know, it did make me stronger as a person, and it's made me who I am today. And, you know, all those years where I wasn't invited to parties, I was in my room with my camera, writing in my journal, and it's leading me to everything I'm doing now. And like, I would tell my younger self, I'd be like, yeah, you're not getting invited to things, but wait, all the thing you're using to cope, you have no clue where it's going to, like, you are going to be astounded. Like, I made a video about Taylor Swift in high school. I know we're going to talk about Taylor soon. I made a video about Taylor Swift in high school, and I watched it, and I was like, that 16-year-old boy is going to be at her show because he got approved through Taylor's team to write about it. Little does that 16-year-old boy know. And I'm like, oh, like, I'm at, I wouldn't know. Oh my God. If I had a time machine to tell him that, he would be just like, oh my God, you know?
It's amazing. And you wouldn't be able to believe it. And you know, mm-hmm. since you brought up Taylor Swift, I do have to ask, can you tell me all about Taylor Swift and
yes.
what your experience was like at her show and how that kind of came to be?
Okay. So Taylor Swift, of course, was, I just had a feeling I was going to be there. Like, I cannot explain it. You know, the tickets dropped November and we know the whole fiasco and everything. And I was ridiculously calm about it. And my friends were like, why are you so calm about this? Like, you didn't get a ticket. You tried 3 different Ticketmaster accounts. And I was like, I'm going to be there. Like, I am going to be there. And they're like, all right. Like, cause I said the same with Olivia, even though I had no tickets and that's, you know, so they're kind of like, all right. And then the Facebook group started talking, the music industry groups, is Taylor going to allow press in this tour? And, you know, a lot of the comments were like, hey, I did Reputation in 2018. Her team was incredible. Like, you know, they really are open to giving people chances, blah, blah, blah. So, you know, they, when I found out Taylor was going to allow press, I applied. I applied maybe a month before. And here's the thing. So New York is going to be very competitive, right? New York and LA. So I applied for Philadelphia specifically because I knew there would be less competition. Because I knew New York was going to be like national people. So I'm like, all right, let me try Philadelphia. I mean, it's only an hour out from Manhattan. So I applied, and the cold email, I like forgot to write a certain, like, the link to my, to the OutJams email. So I was like, oh God, like we're not, you know, but I just had a feeling that something was going to happen. I was going to be there, whether it was me going jamming in the parking lot or me actually there, whether press or I bought a ticket myself. And then it was May 5th and I'm like listening to Taylor because someone made the Eras Tour playlist on Spotify available. And I just had a feeling, I was like, I'm going to hear back from them today. I'm going to hear back. And I had so many friends who got approved that were small creators, big creators who got approved. So I'm like, okay, they really are fighting to get people, to give people a chance. And I get an email from her publicist and she goes, hey, listen, Liam, I can't accommodate you for a photo pass, but I still want you to come. I would love to have you write a review for the show. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to Taylor. Like, of course, like, I don't, you know, it's Taylor Swift, like the Eras Tour. Are you kidding? So I was like, oh, yes, yes. Like, what do I do? Like, I don't, you know. And her team has had such a great reputation in our industry because, again, they give people chances, small or large. And her team was kind enough. They're like, you want to bring a friend? Like, we'll give you 2 tickets, which like most artists, they don't do. And especially, I mean, I have artists at smaller levels than Taylor and they'll be like, yeah, no photo pass. Sorry. Like, you know, but I really admire that they accommodated and they're like, hey, we can't put you in for this, but we're going to put you in for that. Like they didn't have to do that. They didn't have to go that route. And they did. And the fact they were like, bring a friend, like, who, like, they, you know?
Yeah, and especially it's, like, the most wanted to go to concert of, like,
of our time.
At like, least a year. Yeah, of our time. It's,
you know, and it was just, it was unbelievable. And then, you know, the wild part was they didn't tell us where we were sitting, you know? I emailed the team and I was like, you know, is my ticket going to be transferred on Ticketmaster, right? And they're like, no, like, you're going to get a hand, like, a stub, which is nice because we don't get the prints anymore. So we got that, my friend and I got there and we got to go through the media tent while the long lines and we're just like, yep, we're going. And we got our stubs and we were in F9, which F9 was the front of the catwalk. We were center left and my friend Missy, she's been at every concert with me pretty much. She was there with Olivia Rodrigo. Like, she was there when I went to Harry, and she's a massive Swiftie. So it was only fair she was going, you know, with me. And it was, I think one of the best parts was when we finally got to the floor, because they made you go up all these steps, Lincoln Financial Field. And we get down and the ushers are keep pointing like, oh, F9 down there, F9 down there. And we get there. And yes, we're the ninth row, but technically we're like row three of our section. And just turning my head and seeing Missy get emotional, because like, she's met Taylor, like huge fan. Just to see how emotional she got. And it was like, oh my, you know, and then it was just like, it was amazing to give someone that, like that I was able to provide her that, you know, because she literally got me Ariana Grande tickets 4 years ago. And I remember being like, if Taylor ever goes back on tour, like I am getting you that ticket. So like, you know, it was just so nice to see, but that's when it hit me, when we, you know, I posted on my Insta story, I wrote unreal, like the catwalk. So it was like, oh my God, like my photography and writing led me to this. Like, that's when it hit me like a ton of bricks. And I think when Taylor went on and she started with Miss Americana and the Heartbreak Prince, because the opening lyric is, it's been a long time coming. So that makes sense because she hadn't toured in 5 years. But when she like rises up and it was like, this is what my passions led me to. And that it was unbelievable.
That's crazy. Like, I feel like even if you were to just have gotten handed Taylor Swift tickets on that day, it would have been like, oh my God. But to get handed tickets and to know it was because of everything that you had put work into, mm-hmm. I mean, I don't even know, like you said, unreal. I feel like there's no better word to even describe it.
Mm-hmm. And especially just like seeing how it made me realize how our generation really grew up with her. And like, you know, the younger generation, they have Taylor at their fingertips. They have everything. But like, we had to wait for her to release things. We like, it was the anticipation. And like, I, you know, there was parts of me that was like, oh man, I wish I saw her back in the day. But it was like, the way she does each era, it's like you're back in time. Like, it really made up for all the years we did, like, I didn't go. Like, Fearless, oh God, like, my 11-year-old self was screaming. Like, I was like, oh, you know, the Red era. And she sounds the same. Taylor hasn't aged a bit. I mean, she's only 33 and has made this astounding career of herself. I really look up to her a lot. And just, she really made up for all those years. Like, especially, like, it was just incredible. And then another thing with Taylor, a few months in August of 2022, I actually got to go to the VMAs. The tickets were free and you get randomly selected. And Taylor surprised the audience. She wasn't supposed to come, but she did. Cause she won for All Too Well. And she was like 5 feet away from me when she announced Midnights. So that was like, I don't know, just like if that moment, and then like 9 months later, I'm approved for Taylor Swift, like full set. Like it's just unbelievable. It was unbelievable.
You got to see like everything come full circle with that concert. Mm-hmm. That is so cool.
Yeah.
So is it safe to say that that was your favorite concert that you've had the chance to work at, or is there
hands down? Yeah. Hands down. Like, I think it was also a confidence booster for me because, you know, sometimes you're going to have imposter syndrome and doubt your work, but 3 days before I got approved for Taylor, I got rejected from a job to create TikToks. I'm not going to say company, whatever. I got rejected. Basically, they said I was too passionate for the job. And I laughed. I was like, that is the most ridiculous thing to reject someone over. They said I didn't have enough TikTok experience. It was just really, really dumb. I mean, they did give me one constructive criticism. I will admit my cover letter should have been a little shorter, so I will take that. But, you know, I cannot imagine looking at an application and thinking, this person's too enthusiastic for this. Like, what? And I texted my friends and we were all laughing about it. And I was like, something better is coming. And then 3 days later, it was Taylor. And now my whole thing with like job rejections, because again, I do have a job currently in live events, but it's part-time and, you know, our economy sucks. So I need to find other work, you know. But one of the things now, it's like, if I get rejected from a job, I'm going to be like, oh, you rejected me? Guess who didn't? Taylor Swift. So that's my motto towards everything right now. Like, oh, you rejected. Okay, well, Taylor didn't.
So, okay.
Bye. Like,
I love that.
That's my new motto now. I maybe I'll get a poster in my room. Taylor didn't reject me. But that's really like how I'm going about everything now. Like, I mean, because rejections are still going to happen. I watched a video about one of Beyonce's backup dancers, and she was still getting rejected after dancing for Beyonce herself. So it's still going to happen. But it's like, once you get something like that, you're like, okay, like, I have, like, there's someone as big as her team believed in me. Yes. You know, I'm very excited for the review to come out. We're still waiting on approvals. But like, that is a, oh God, it like really did shoot up my confidence. I still have a lot to learn and grow. I think I'll always be a student forever. But that really is just like, okay, if I have a bad day, I'll be like, remember Taylor? Remember that, like, you don't suck as much as you think you do.
And it's so great to have that, because mm-hmm. that is such a good reminder.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's the other part of like social media as a highlight reel. Because I talked about the one, you know, how I have one job currently. Like, these opportunities are really cool, but a huge con, you don't get paid for them. Mm-hmm. I have to work up my way to get paid. I'm doing a lot of free work right now. But I am very privileged that I live with my parents rent free. You know, as long my parents are like, you can stay with us as long as you pay your loans. So, but a lot of people don't have that privilege. They don't have that working for free. Like, they can't do that. I think it's unfair that we're still doing working for free, especially considering how much camera gear costs and the travel and all of that. But yeah, I want to acknowledge that as well. It's just like, I'm very privileged that I can do that. And we need to advocate more to have people start being paid fairly.
Have you found ways to surround yourself with like-minded individuals in order to further your career?
Meeting people organically, networking organically. I mean, this is going to go for corporate America in general. Corporate America has turned us into these robots. I don't like it. I'm not for it. You know, you watch these networking videos on how to network and you're like, so how did you begin your career? But in interviews, it's like so scripted and I hate it. I hate it. It was just kind of like, I was doing that in film and TV. Nothing was working. And I realized, you know, other passions. So with the music industry, I don't actively go out of my way and try to be like, oh, let's network. And, you know, people like trying to expect jobs out of people, you know. And here's the thing, when I do ask for advice, I don't ask advice on things that I can easily Google. That's a huge thing people don't like. Like, for example, how to get into concert photography, right? Like, well, you know, there's a lot of websites and resources. Some people may not want to answer it. For me, I'll personally answer it, but mm-hmm. others may not. You know, some people, you know, were just in-depth questions, I guess. And I just meet people at shows. That's really how it goes through my videos. People like, oh, I know you from TikTok. I mean, it's wild how you'll meet people. Literally, I wore my college sweatshirt this is wild. All right. So it was Halloween. And my mom's best friend was like, hey, do you want to come to my niece's birthday party? And I'm like, okay, you know, whatever. and I'm at this, and my outfit, if I didn't wear what I wore, this never would have happened. I mean, I think I would have, considering the person. But I'm just going to keep the person anonymous. So basically, I threw on my Marist hoodie and walked out the door. And it's 1 a.m. And I'm sitting at this fire pit at this party. I don't know these people. These people, like, went to my rival high school. And a lot of people who went to my rival high school, they didn't go to Marist. So I'm like, I'm at this party. I'm like, no one here went to Marist. Like, I, you know, whatever. So then I went and got a drink of water. And I turn and someone pulls the back door behind me and walks in. I don't know what they were dressed up as. Again, I'm keeping this person anonymous. Just, I don't think they care, but I just want to.
Yeah, no, totally.
I don't think they're going to care. But this person, they're like, did you go to Marist? And I'm like, yeah. And they were like, no way, so did I. And I'm like, you know, our school, so Marist, it's a small school, but it's not like, mm-hmm. no. And I'm thinking like, I don't know who this person, like, I'm like, wait a minute. And, you know, and turns out we were around the same age and, you know, we're talking about our lives post-grad. We were talking about Marist and COVID and all that. And then, you know, they were like, what do you do now? And I'm like, well, I'm trying to be slick with it. I'm like, yeah, I'm trying to do concert talk. I don't know. And they were like, I'm in the music industry. No way.
Oh.
And I'm like, wait, what? And they're like, and they told me what they did and stuff. And then we got coffee like 2 weeks later. Cool person. I haven't spoken to them a hot minute. We ran into each other at a concert. But, you know, and I, you know, my whole thing was going into it. I was not going to be like, oh, I'm going to get a job through this person. I did get a gig through them. I did. They had asked me to come to a show of theirs for a client. But my whole thing was like, I wasn't going in being like, oh, I'm going to get a job out of this person. Like that, that's just not who I am. And that, you know, I do see this person as a friend genuinely, you know, and yeah, all because I wore my college sweatshirt at a random Halloween party for my mom's best friend's niece. And I think I had just gotten hired in live events a week prior to that and just had quit my job after Harry Styles. Oh, and the wild part was me and this person were both at Harry Styles, but we were in different sections.
Oh, wow. So you were both there.
Yeah. So like, it was like, we grew up 5 minutes away. We went to the same school, didn't know each other, you know, but the whole like meeting this person, regardless if we were going to be best friends or whatever, you know, that was a sign to me that I was on the right path, because I'm at this random party and I meet someone who's in the industry, regardless of where our relationship was. If that wasn't a sign that this was the path, one of the signs,
yeah,
that this was the path, you know, I have a lot of thing, you know, should I mention the Lizzo story? Cause that was another thing that happened the same time.
Yeah. Go ahead. Okay. I love hearing stories.
So I went to go see Lizzo for my 4-year testosterone anniversary. I, you know, the day, my self-made man day, I decided to go see Lizzo, and Lizzo keeps popping up in every music accomplishment. Like I saw her at the VMAs and then I bought her ticket to a concert. And she does this thing where she gets 6 roses and she chucks them throughout the pit. And she chucked it in my section. I'm sitting there and I'm thinking like, oh, she threw it behind me, because she threw it pretty far, but I felt something at my feet. So I look down, the rose is like perfectly on my left foot, and I pick it up and I look around. I'm like, does anyone want this? And everyone in my section was like, no, you're going to keep it. And I tweeted about it. I said, hey, Lizzo, I was one of the 6, and she retweeted it at 3 a.m.
God.
And it was something about like, I don't know, just, it was like red roses are my favorite flowers. So the red rose falling on my foot, it was, I don't know. It was, and then Lizzo seeing it, I was like, okay, like this, I'm on the, there's something going to happen. And then it's wild, because then the first day I got hired for my live events job, Lizzo was one of the first concerts we did. And now I'm doing GovBall and Lizzo's the headliner.
Oh my, so everything goes back to Lizzo.
Which is so wild. Like I'll be seeing her 4 times. You know, that's
crazy, because I was just gonna say, I'm a huge believer in signs. So I think Lizzo is very much like what you were saying, is like just kind of like that sign, like that big picture of,
yeah, because like when an accomplishment happens, like Lizzo ends up being a part of it for some reason. And then the same with the alum story, like it's just, I don't, like regardless of where that relationship was gonna go, you know, you're at this random party, you're like, you know, on Long Island, like who on Long, you know,
yeah.
Like okay, you know, it was like those two things, they happened like weeks within each other, and I was like, okay, like you quitting your job, like that was the move, that was what you were supposed to do.
Wow, no, it's crazy how that all happened for you, and like that all lined up. Those are all such amazing stories. And seeing, like you said, like it didn't just happen overnight for you, and kind of being able to see your journey has been so inspiring. So I have to ask, do you have a dream artist that you want to cover, whether it's through photography or writing one day?
All right. So I would love to do Taylor again, but as a photographer, not a writer. My foot's in the door though. So, you know, we'll see where that comes. I think I would love to shoot for Olivia Rodrigo officially, because none of this would have happened if it wasn't for her music. So Olivia, definitely. Beyonce would be a fever dream, but it's Beyonce and she has tight, you know what I mean? But that would be a fever dream. I would love to shoot for Lana Del Rey, because her music got me through a lot in high school. I don't know. There's just so many artists. Like there's so many people. I think there's a lot of people that, like, if I was alive when they were alive, you know, like Nirvana, that would have been sick to do back in the day if I was alive for that. You know, there's just so many people, you know, but those are like the main ones I would say.
Well, I hope that one day we do see you at, especially a Beyonce concert. I'll be crossing my fingers that I see that post. So, but were you continuing? Did you have something else to add?
Oh, no.
Okay. Well, as one of us is talking, we love to do hot seat questions. So are you down?
Yes, I'm down.
So who is your all-time favorite music artist?
Oh God. I'm gonna say Beyonce because I've been a huge fan of her since forever. I'm seeing her for the third time in July. I literally ditched my prom for her. I ditched high school prom for Beyonce. So yeah, Beyonce is always gonna be number one.
Beyonce is your number one. And I just have a gut feeling that we're going to see you at a Beyonce concert with the camera in your hand right
Hopefully
up
one
front.
day.
So one day. And your all-time favorite television show?
I don't really watch TV anymore that much. I'll say Family Guy. I was a huge
Okay,
fan.
that's
I've always been a huge fan of Family Guy. That show's hilarious.
Yes, I agree. Favorite season of the year?
Fall or spring? My birthday's in the spring, so yeah, but then I just love the fall because Halloween's my favorite holiday.
Okay, my birthday's in the fall, so I love the fall, but I love the spring. So
Yeah.
same seasons just kind of switched around there. If you could only eat one food for the rest of your life, what would it be?
Probably chicken fingers and french fries. I'm such a picky eater. That's like my go-to meal.
I love chicken fingers and fries. That is such a go-to. Your biggest inspiration?
Oh God, I don't think because there's so many inspirations for so many different things. I think I just am inspired by people who just have been through hell but managed to get on top, who
That's
didn't
so cool.
let like their challenges get to them. And like, a lot of people, for example, as a trans man, people always be like, oh, transgender people are not going to make it far, blah, blah, blah. And just like, people will always be like, you're not going to find this because you're trans. You're not going to find that because you're trans. And it's like, there's so many people that have defined that odd and have created that open space. So I can be open about who I am and future generations can. So that's what inspires me, the people that like really have pulled through hell to be where they are.
Such a great answer. What about your favorite song at the moment?
Oh God. Well, I've been listening to a lot of Taylor for obvious reasons. I will, I posted a joke and I was like, oh, like we get it, Dad. You peaked at the Eras tour. Like my future kids are gonna be like, oh, here's Dad with Eras again. It's probably gonna be our Christmas card, for eternity. My kids are gonna be like, yeah, we don't have any pictures of us around the house. It's just Taylor. No, I'm kidding. My kids will have pictures all over. My kids will have pictures. But I would say right now from Taylor, I love My Tears Ricochet. Like I didn't really listen to Folklore, but now I'm like getting to Folklore after hearing it live. So I'll say My Tears Ricochet
Okay,
from Taylor
that's a
Swift.
great one. And then I don't know if this is also going to be Taylor, but an album everyone needs to listen to at least once.
Okay, so I have a list on my phone on the best albums of all time, like my personal opinion. I think like people really need to listen to Sour more because I think everyone's like, oh, it's just a 19-year-old girl who wrote about breakup. But no, it's about the American teenage experience. And I will defend that album with my life. I literally wrote an article about like why the album was so executed perfectly. Anyway, but the second album, Michael Jackson's Off the Wall. That is the most slept on album Michael Jackson has ever made. It was the album he made before Thriller. So he was breaking from Jackson 5, but like Thriller wasn't out yet. Like it was years before Thriller. And that album I used to listen to it in driver's ed. Our driver's ed teacher like would make us listen to Off the Wall, and it's one of my favorite albums of all time. Like it is a very slept on Michael Jackson album.
I'll have to
Very slept on.
because I don't think I've listened to that one, so I'll check that one out.
He was like 21 when he made the album, like
Oh,
very young. It was like
okay,
his
so
first
young
solo
in there.
album.
Okay, I'll make sure to check that out. Well, Liam, thank you so much for a great interview. I loved hearing your story, and you're such an inspiration. So thank
Thank
you
you.
so much and sharing everything.
Thank you. That really means a lot. I love just talking about my journey and like inspiring others. And just kind of going more in depth because like I'll post things, but it's like that's only 5% of the story. Like, so I love that I was privileged and lucky enough to get this platform today to really go in depth on my story and just letting people know what it's all about.
Thank you so much.
No problem.